have your Bibles tonight. We'll look at about three passages primarily. Luke chapter 9, Proverbs chapter 29, the book of Philippians. We'll look at those three passages tonight. I'll just sort of give you the outline and kind of piece it together in your mind. It's a vision, clear vision in 2020. How many of you had an eye exam? Okay. And you know the chart that they put up there? Well, when you put that chart up and you look at it, you kind of squint a little bit and they take that little thing and say, well, now look at it, now look at it, now look at it, now look at it. And so you're trying to see, and they try to see what kind of vision you have and how to adjust your lenses, if you need glasses, if you don't. And it's my dream and desire that the people of Temple Baptist Church would not need glasses spiritually, but that the Holy Spirit would take your heart and make you into a shining Christian, would give you the ability to see what God wants you to do this year. You would have a clear vision. Not only things that you ought not to do, but things you ought to do. And that you wouldn't get distracted. Now, if you have your Bible, notice Luke chapter 9. Notice with me, if you would, Luke chapter 9. Verse number 57. Came to pass as they went in the way, a certain man said unto the Lord, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. The phrase Son of Man used by Jesus Christ was a self-effacing passage only used three times in the Scriptures. The Son of Man. The Son of Man. Always emphasizing his humanity. Now, you'll notice, he says in verse 59, and he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Now we'll come back to that in a minute. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. You might think that's a very cold answer, but when I explain it to you, you'll understand. Then notice verse 61, another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me go and bid them farewell, which are at home in my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Now keep your finger there and turn to Proverbs 29, if you would. Proverbs 29, very famous verse. Verse number 18. Where there is no vision, word vision is no gazing upon something and beholding it. Nothing that you focused your eyes on. Nothing that you dream about. Nothing in the future. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And so you'll understand, he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Remember, the law is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. So I said, look, you need a vision. Now, you'll notice, if you would, then I'm going to give the outline and we'll piece it together. Looking back is not for sincere Christians. It's not for sincere servants. Looking back. Grieving over the past. Looking forward will require sacrifice and surrender. So you have to be, if you're sincere about serving the Lord, you're not going to look back. And if you're looking forward, you're going to be sacrificial and you're going to be strong. You're going to have to. But then a clear vision requires that we surrender our dreams to Him. So we have sincerity, we have sacrifice, we have surrender. I want you to notice, let's go back to Luke chapter number 9. When the man said, Lord, I'll go wherever you go. He said, let me explain to you what that really means, what you're saying. He said, the foxes have holes. They call home. The birds have nests. They call home. But the Son of Man, the God of heaven, the King of Kings, who's taken on a human body, has no place to call home. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to serve me with the prospect of never having a home that's yours? Now, one of the dreams an American has is home ownership. I was telling somebody today, if you buy a house and your interest rate today is 3.5, 3.75, 3.3, 3.4, something like that. And, you know, I think at the, around the beginning of the year is like 4 or 3.95, something like that. And you begin to look at it and you say, wow, you know, the rates have risen a little bit. When Susan and I built our first house, I had to close on it at 18% interest. So I bought a house on a credit card. That's crazy. Now, that was during the Carter administration when inflation went crazy. And then it came down, and about 5 years later, it was at 10%. Man, I thought, that is out of this world. What do you think would happen if we had an interest rate right now, 10%? Can you imagine? Well, it's at 3.7%. You can maybe buy a house now. And if you have a home, the exciting thing is now I've got a place to lay my head. I've got a place for my children to be able to call home. I've got a place that I can look forward to down the road. I mean, I've got a home. I'm excited about it. I've got something that, I've got some stability in my life. Now notice, if you would, Luke chapter 9 and verse number 59. And he said to another, follow me. And he said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. You know, what he really was saying is, my father's elderly. Will you let me? I'm going to go back. I want to follow you, but I want to go home and I want to stay until he dies. And then when I bury him, then I'll come follow you. In other words, I've got some family responsibilities that I can't serve you yet. But I really want to. So my encouragement to you is, let your vision be something that you see. If you're really sincere about it, you can't say, Lord, I want to serve you, but I want to get married first. Lord, I want to serve you, but I want to get that job first. I want to save some money first. He had a better reason than most people. Lord, I want to go back and I want to take care of my father till he dies. 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, but then I'll serve you. Many people say, Lord, I'll serve you, but let me do this first. Jesus said in verse number 59, follow me. And he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead. He wasn't being calloused. He wasn't being hard. He said, look, you come serve me. Let the dead bury their dead. Look, it may be 10, 15, 20 years. Look at the time that you would waste. There'll always be someone there with family to take care of that responsibility. You might even be able to go back for a few days and take care of it. That's okay with me. But he's saying, look, let the dead bury their dead. Look, you put your focus, your clear vision, if you're sincere, on following me. Notice what he says. Look in verse number 59, follow me. Look, follow me, imitate me. Now notice, if you would, in verse number 61, and another also said, Lord, I will follow thee. So you can see the distraction of the first guy. Look, you know, are you worried about a place to put your head? Are you worried about a home? He said, foxes have holes, and, you know, so he's distracted. The Lord says, look, if you need something, then you're not sincere about following me. But you'll notice not only that, the next guy said, Lord, I want to serve you, but he wanted to defer his service till his father died. Now, if you're sincere about following the Lord this year, you have to just say, Lord, I'm all yours. You can't defer it. You can't be distracted. And the third thing is, you can't make excuses. You can't be delivered from the responsibility of following the Lord. Look, if you would, in verse 61. And the others also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first bid them farewell, which are at my home. He said, let me go back. And what this meant, they would go back and they'd throw a party, and it might take days, it might take weeks, it might take a few months. Look, I'm going to go serve the Lord. Well, let's take a little while. When a man got married in the Old Testament, he would be with his wife to cheer her up for a year. Look, you can't be delivered from following the Lord. You can't say, Lord, I want to follow you, but deliver me. Deliver me from doing it right now. Lord, I got some things I need to take care of. You can't be distracted. You can't defer it. You can't be delivered from it. Lord, you know, just let me go party a little while and then I'll come. I don't know how long we're going to party. I don't know how long we're going to tell my family bye. Notice, if you would, in verse number 62, Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow, looking back. Now, watch this. When you put your hand on the plow, okay, I'm ready to go. But then you say, wait a minute. And you usually got the reins around your neck, shoulders, so you can pull them. And so as you're going along, you say, wait a minute, I got to stop. And you pull back on it. You take your hands off the plow and look back to see something. Nothing's getting done. He said, no one that's distracted or defers service or wants to be delivered from service for the time being is worth following me. If you're sincere, you can't put it off. Now, notice the second thing. Looking forward will require sacrifice and strength. Now, you'll notice he does say, look, there's no place to lay your head. Would we be willing to serve the Lord in a foreign land like in Uganda? You couldn't own your own house very well. Most mission fields can't own your own house. You're a foreigner. You can't buy things there. And I remember when we went to Papua New Guinea, we went out in the bush, flew in with a plane, about an hour's flight. It was an 8-day walk to get out. We flew in on a runway, and then we walked for 4 or 5 miles. We came upon this big clearing. And in that clearing was a church, a couple of houses, and an old clinic building. The missionary had been there 4 or 5 years. He'd built a home. And the people there loved the missionary, because he was willing to live with them. Now, his home was nice. He had running water to pump out of the creek. He had a solar refrigerator. How many of you remember when we bought his solar refrigerator? Anybody remember that? Oh, what a blessing. We went over. You could have cold milk. It wasn't curdled. You know, it wasn't a little stiff. And so, wow, that was wonderful. Did you know when they first went there, they didn't have a home? They slept in a little tent. His wife, 2 little girls. Jesus said, follow me. The foxes have holes. The birds have nests. But I have no place. And you may not either. Are you willing to make that sacrifice? Now, the question is, if you say, oh Lord, I'd like to serve you, but your vision's not clear. It's clouded. Now, do you see the poverty of the Lord Jesus? He owned nothing. It never says he owned a donkey. Never owned a house. He never owned a thing in this life. He didn't even have a place to be born in. Except a manger. And when he died, they took the raiment that he had and gambled for it. He left nothing. He gave it all. But the power that he had, he raised the dead and healed the sick. And he made the greatest difference of anybody that's ever lived. Our calendar is written upon it. 2020, based upon Jesus Christ. The man that owned nothing. The man that gave up everything. The man that died for us. The God that cares for us. And he said, look, if you're going to serve me, if you're going to have a clear vision, you got to be willing to sacrifice whatever it takes. You know, I read a little story. I told you about it. I love the story. Russia. Cold night below zero. A pastor's wife had been taken by the authorities, put in prison. The wife and children didn't know where he was. Been gone for a while. They were in a little house. No food. Mom got them together to pray before he put them into bed. And the children said, Mom, I'm hungry. She said, the Lord knows he'll provide. They said, but I don't see anything and I'm hungry. Let's pray about it. Our Heavenly Father knows right where we are. Does Daddy know? No, he doesn't. But our Heavenly Father's enough. So she tucked him in bed. Middle of the night, she didn't know as if God heard that prayer. There was a deacon, I forget how many miles away, already ready for bed. The Holy Spirit touched his heart. Need to get up. Need to go to that pastor's house. His wife, the children are hungry. Need to go. He said, Lord, I'll go, but it's cold outside. My horse will freeze. It's below zero. And then the wolves will get me. Lord, I can't go tonight. I can go tomorrow. Lord, they're hungry now. You need to go. And he was arguing with the Lord. And finally he said this. He said, Lord, I can't go. I won't make it back. Lord touched his heart and said, gave him this thought written in his book. You have to go, but you don't have to come back. Are you willing to sacrifice like that? You have to do it, but you don't have to come home. It's all in. 2020, I just want to encourage you to be willing to go all in. So he says, okay, Lord. He goes out to his barn, gets his horse ready, gets the sled ready, snows everywhere, below zero. He loads up the wagon with all the fresh vegetables the church had been collecting for whoever needed it. He was in charge of it, put it all in the sleigh, and it was all piled up. And so he goes to however many miles it is and knocks on the door. They're scared to death. They think it's the authorities come to take them away. Open the door. There's this frozen little deacon right in front. He said, could y'all use some food? The Lord told me you could. Burden my heart. Oh, yes. Brought it all in. Set it in there. And he says, you let me know if you need more and I'll bring it back later. Have a good night. Went back home. And he made it home. So he wrote that story down, and all over his family, that story was one of sacrifice. You have to go, but you don't have to come home. And God says, look, I'm looking for servants with a clear vision that understand you have to go, Germany. You don't have to come home. You have to go to New Guinea, to Australia, to Singapore, to Senegal, to Togo, to Egypt, to South Africa, to Madagascar. But you don't have to come home. Because I got a home for you. I'm prepared. So he says to us, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. I'll take care of you. And what things were he talking about when he said, I'll add all these things to you? Food, clothing, all the things that these people wanted. Lord, I need a house. I need a place to go. I need a place to put my head. He's put me first. Now, clear vision. Are we willing to sacrifice? Do you realize what the Lord's doing for our church? This is the year. Please don't go outside and say anything about this. But this is the year when it looks like the Lord's going to bend and move us forward. This is the year that Northfield Development has already turned in their drawings. And their first drawing and all the people they've talked with are said, we like what you're doing. That's our $26 million. Do you realize that's 450% interest in 10 years? How many of you would take that in your 401k? Approximately 50% interest per year. The Lord says, I've got this. We're close. We write the contract next week for the sale of this building. Finish it up. We're already under contract. We're already in our third submission. That goes in next week to the county for the floodplain. We already have permission to build our church, school, outdoor chapel, bus garage, outdoor basketball courts, playgrounds, just not yet the floodplain. That should be May, June, July. We've worked on it and worked on it and worked on it, and I just see the Lord's hand moving in all this. It's not my plan. You know, Pastor Pittman has got a big flaw. Big flaw. It's called lack of patience. You don't have to laugh. But I really like to get things done now. I mean, I had a plan to get the thing done and built and get the buildings built and it all be done by now. But the Lord says, no, I want you to be able to do everything and it be clear. I have a clear vision for you. Now, you know, the Lord, I want to do something now. And he says, but my plan's better. Will you wait? That's a sacrifice for you, Pittman. Lord, this is the year. We waited 10 years. This is the year. Now, the question is, will we have a vision enough to say, we want to use this, we want to use our lives and say, Lord, we're yours. We're willing to surrender. Lord, we're willing to do whatever it takes. We're willing to go whatever you want us to go. We don't have to come home. But Lord, we want to go. We're not going to make an excuse, Lord, I'll go, but let me go bury my father first. Lord, just let me get a house and get things in order. A clear vision requires surrender. If you have your Bible, turn, if you would, to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will, to want to, and to do of his good pleasure. So he said, look, it is God which worketh in you. He'll help your willpower if you'll surrender. He'll help you to want to. Isn't that a wonderful thought? He said, I'll help you want to if you'll just lay your dreams on the altar, Lord. I'll do whatever you want to do, want me to do. But, you know, I don't really want to do this. But, Lord, if you want me to, Lord, I'll leave it in your hands. He said, I'll help you to will to do the right thing. Are you carrying some sin around this year? Will you do what David the psalmist said? Psalm 139, search me, O God. It takes surrender. It takes surrender to say, Lord, you check in every crevice of my heart, every channel of my mind. And if you see anything that you don't like, search me, O God, and try me. If there be any wicked way in me, I want to get rid of it. Have you ever surrendered yourself like that? Young people, have you surrendered like that? Have you just, Lord, I don't know how I can have the will to do this or that, but Lord, if you'll help me, I'll do it. Notice what he says. For it is God which worketh in you to will, to want to do something, and to do it of his good pleasure, of the things that bring him joy. Are we willing to say, I know that God wants me to bring him joy. I know that God wants me to please him. And so I'm willing to say, Lord, I'm willing to do it, but you'll have to give me the will to do it. I don't know how. And right now I'm struggling. Lord, would you help me? And notice what he says in verse 14, do all things without murmuring and disputing. So, okay, you got to get rid of some things. You've got to, a clear vision has got to say, look, I gotta get rid of my sin. You can't have a clear vision for 2020 and do anything for the Lord if you're carrying around sin. Lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, he says in Hebrews chapter 12. Now, everybody in this room, we sin every day. The question is, do we put it in our pocket and take it with us the next day? Or do we say, Lord, I surrender it to you. I want to do your will. I want to get rid of my sin. Look, God wants to use everybody in this room. But he can't if you got sin in your pockets. A little bit of murmuring. A little bit of back talk to your parents. A little bit of, notice what he says in verse number 14. Without murmuring and disputing. You know, murmuring, it's an onomatopoeic word. It's a word that sort of sounds like what it is. It's like, it's grumbling under your breath. Mom, hey, son, go make your bed. Murmuring. You can't have a clear vision of eternity if you murmur. At school, at work, boss, Notice he said, without murmuring and without disputing. Now, disputing is the next level up. It is actually talking to somebody, complaining to somebody about what you don't like. He said, look, I'm asking you not to do that, not to do that anymore. And that will be a surrender for you. Now, then notice, if you would, in verse 15, that you may be blameless and harmless. That's what I want for you. So I want you to be blameless. I want no one to be able to point a finger at you and say, yeah, but you're a murmurer. Yeah, but you're a liar. Yeah, but you're this or that. I want you to surrender and say, Lord, search me. See if there be any wicked way in me. Could that be your willing surrender this year? Would you have the courage to do that? Oh, what God could do with a church with this group of people, if we just said, or I surrender any sin. Wow, what the youth group be like? what our homes would be like. You can't argue with your wife anymore. You can't argue with your husband anymore. Not and surrender to God. You can't complain about your boss. You can't complain about work. You can't, Lord, I surrender. Do you have a clear vision of what God wants you for this year? Now, 2020 vision, because you get rid of sin, and it causes you to surrender to do what God wants. Now, notice if you would, take your Bible and notice in verse 15, we'll read it and then get to 16. They may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke. So there's the negative. I'm willing to get rid of any sin. And remember, Psalm 139 says any sin. There's no reservation. All total surrender. Notice he says, in the sons of God, we've got to remember who we are, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. I'm not asking you to live right when you get to heaven. I'm asking you to live right while you're on earth, while you're among the crooked and while you're among people that are perverse. They're twisted. They don't have the truth, or they live the way they want to live and they don't really care what God says. He says, I'm asking you to live among them, and I'm asking you to live among them without rebuke. I'm asking you to live above what the world is around you. I'm asking you to surrender. And notice what he says. Among whom you shine as lights in the world. He says, if you surrender to me and you grant me my pleasure, then you're going to shine as a light in this world. Would you be willing to do that? Would you be willing to shine at work? Young people, would you be willing to shine at home? So you put pressure on your parents to surrender their hearts to the Lord. Notice verse 16. Holding forth the word of life. This is going to be my subject. This is going to be the vision that I have. Now, take your Bible and turn, if you would, to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Now, we've talked about taking away, getting rid of sin, but notice, if you would, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Whereby given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Well, we've gotten saved by these great and precious promises. In verse 5, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Okay, if you're going to surrender, do you know how much a sacrifice it is to add virtue to your life? Virtue is purity. To not do things. To say, Lord, I'm going to stay away from things that would cause me to be impure. I'm going to keep my mind clean. I'm not going to be a part of pornography because I'm going to add virtue to my life. Notice he says, knowledge. I'm going to read God's word. Verse 6, temperance. I'm going to add self-control. Equitas. Power over self. I'm going to add that to my life. Now, the Lord says, if you want to show me pleasure, if you want to please me, then get victory over yourself. Add that to your life. And so he's got a lot of things here he's wanting to add to their life. Now, notice with me, if you would, if you have your Bible, I'll flip over to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Notice this. Keep in mind, we're talking about shining. He said, I want you to shine in a dark world. Look in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 10. Now, he just finished verse 8 and 9, but now all these put off anger, wrath, malice. He gives a long list here of things that we, Lord, search me, O God, see if there be any wicked way in me. Now, verse 10, and put on the new man. Everybody in this room has got to put on the new man. Every one of us has got to put on the new man. Notice, which is renewed, which is rebuilt, renovated. In the knowledge after the image of him that created him. What would Jesus do in this circumstance? How would he think in this circumstance? The one who had no place to put his head. The one that had no money. The one that gave it all for us. How would he do it? I want to be in his image. So that's why that little deacon, cold night, the Holy Spirit said, you got to go. You don't have to come home. He says, okay, Lord. I'll go. And I'll trust you to bring me home if you want me to come home. Where are the people that are willing to put on the new man? Notice what he says. Verse number 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. Be merciful. Kind. Humble of mind. Don't think of yourself as so important. Think of yourself as someone that is only valuable as long as you bring pleasure to the Lord. That's where your worth comes in. Are you worth a lot tonight to Him? Let that be your vision. Let that be your dream. That you become someone great before the Lord tonight. Oh, you're not looking at everybody else. You're just trying to bring Him pleasure. Are you trying to do that, wives, tonight? Are you trying to do that, husbands? Notice what he says. Humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. In other words, you're willing to give people an extra heaping of patience and grace. Long-suffering. Notice the next one. Forbearing one another. You're willing to not demand the people around you do the right thing. You're willing to forbear with them. Notice this. Forgiving one another. You're willing to let things go. Proverbs 19:11 says that we would send things away, that we'd look over transgressions, that we wouldn't let them stick in our hearts. And that's what he's saying in this passage. That we'd learn to forgive. We'd forbear. Well, maybe he's not having a good day. Well, I'm gonna give him grace. I'm going to forgive it. Can you forgive mistreatment today? A clear vision of the Lord will let you. The Lord's hanging on the cross. He's been beaten to death, literally. He says, Father, forgive them. That's a clear vision. So when your wife doesn't do quite right, what does the Lord want for you to do? Forbear? Forgive her. Without even asking. What if your sister or your brother doesn't treat you right? What's your goal? A clear vision for 2020? I just to forgive them and keep doing what's right. I want to shine. I'm just reminded, look in verse number 13, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any have a quarrel against any, you've got an argument against somebody, you've got a legitimate beef against somebody. He says, what's this? If any have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. You got a legitimate beef? Forgive it. Wow. Where are the Christians like that? Would you have a clear vision this year? Do you understand? We can build all of the buildings in the world. $33 million worth of buildings. We have a chance to have them all paid for. But what good are they if the people inside the buildings are not shining? That brings pleasure to the Lord. Folks, I'd rather be outside under a tree and you be shining. You bring pleasure to the Lord. Don't let the blessings of our great country and our great God take away your clear vision. We have houses and lands. We have retirement. We have a bright future, but it's worthless unless we're sincere Christians that are sacrificial and surrendered to the Lord. I want to bring pleasure to you. tonight, forget yourself. Bring pleasure to Him. Will you do that? Now, folks, I can't make anybody in this room, but I can tell you this. I'm going to do my best to be the first one to do that. Lord, I want to bring pleasure to You with every thought of my life. Will you follow me? Let's serve the Lord together. Folks, what good is it if we get brand new buildings? We owe nothing if we can't represent Christ. You got to help me. I can't do it myself. I'm only one. But if you will help, and everybody does their part, I should have brought it tonight, but I didn't. I have a flashlight. Okay. Let me turn back. Turn back again to the passage, Philippians 2. I want you to see that real quick and I'll close. Notice if you would. Verse 15. They may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye, plural, shine as lights, plural, in the world. Now, if one person shines, if one person says, Pastor, I got it, I will surrender, Lord, I want to give the Lord my everything, Lord, I'll go and I don't have to come home. That's what He wants. I have a flashlight, it's about that big, it's about that long, and it is so bright, it's 30, you know the lights out here on the back of the building? They're like 20,000 lumens. This is 32,000 lumens, and it's that big. And I said, how does it do that? And I turned it off and looked in there, and there's about 20 little lights, all LEDs, each one 1,500 lumens. So if you put 20 of them, there's 32,000 lumens. So can you imagine what we could do tonight with all of us if everybody in this room does your little part? Notice what He said. Look at the wording. Among whom ye shine. Notice, as lights, plural, in the world, holding fast the word of God of the life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. Notice this, Paul said, that I have not run, notice the wording, in vain, neither labored in vain. Folks, I don't want to waste my life either. I want us to keep our eyes on eternity. Lord, fix my eyes upon eternity. Do you realize tonight, we've all got to go. We don't have to come home. Will you surrender tonight with me? And let's bring pleasure to Him. Let's bow His word of prayer tonight. Page 390, I surrender all. Folks, tonight, there's a clear vision laid out for us. Are we sincere enough to follow the plan of God? Are we sacrificial enough to say, Lord, I'm willing to go anywhere and do anything? Are we surrendered enough to say, I'll get rid of any sin in my life, any sin, and I will add anything to my life that's missing just to bring You pleasure? We're going to have a word of prayer. Tonight I'm going to ask you, if you're willing to do that, would you come to this altar and say, Lord, I want to present myself. Lord, I'm Yours. Lord, I want to go. I want to go to school. And I don't have to have my way. I just want to do Your will. I want to bring You pleasure. Could I get you to get a clear vision in 2020 of rejoicing the Lord's heart? Lord Jesus, tonight, would You help me help all the people in this building to give You pleasure in whatever way you ask, help us to be sincere, sacrificial, and surrendered. In your name I pray. Amen.